devotions and reading the Bible and committing and hearing the voice of God. And God has blessed us with using the 40 days to help give us vision for the year, give us strength, give us inspiration. Just give us a renewed sense of community, the community of God. So we take it seriously as a serious blessing and a joyful blessing. And this year, the 40 days of prayer and fasting, we're using a resource that has been produced by a charity called Livability, which is seeking to raise awareness of well-being and mental health for Christians, for local churches. And Stuart and I had something to do with them when we were on sabbatical. So we've decided to use one of their resources to use in our small groups. It's quite different from what we normally do. It's a different kind of Bible study. We were saying to the small group leaders, encourage everybody to bring a journal and a pen. But actually, during the 40 days, I think it's actually really helpful to get yourself a journal. Some of you are really geeky and love stationery, and some of you maybe not so much, but it is such a blessing. Have you ever done that? If you've had a journal in the past and then you've reread it years later, I do that sometimes, and I'm just quite wowed sometimes by the things that I was struggling with, but also by how God spoke to me. So I would encourage you to journal your thoughts, journal your quiet times and times with small groups. We do prayer and fasting and Bible reading. And when we talk about fasting, I think what Lisa was saying about Netflix, not just Netflix, but is actually quite a good thing to focus on right now when we think about fasting. Normally you think of fasting as being, I'm giving up chocolate. Jackie would be cross with you if you did that. Or it could be, I'm giving up alcohol. I need something to focus my mind, something that I know that actually it would be good for me to give up. It would focus my mind. Now that's good, but the things that we've put down here are things like TV, internet, half an hour in bed, reading the paper with lunch, and actually choosing to devote that time to fasting from that and devoting that time to prayer and the Word of God, and really taking it seriously. And the daily devotions, which will start tomorrow morning, or whatever, whenever you get the time, are kind of to go alongside this small group resource, which is called Wellbeing in the Community of God. So there's 6 weeks, and you should all have this, yeah, a hard copy. This is basically it. This is the 40 days. And on this sheet, there is our, at the front, it is the reminder of what we're trying to do. And then you will find 6 weeks of dates, readings, and prayers. And actually, if you are looking really carefully, you'll find that there's 42 days, but we've only counted 40, so we can go along with the name. But anyway, so we have got 40 days of prayer and fasting. And what we long for, what we've seen in the past, and what we long for is that we spend each day devoting time to prayer, devoting time to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit, and saying, Holy Spirit, lead. God, what are you saying to me today? And what are you saying to your church? And asking for discernment to know, what am I meant to do? What is my response meant to be? And this is something that will be enriched by small groups. And if you've been thinking about joining a small group, now is a really good time to go for it. Because this experience is enriched by being in a small group. And in small groups, we're able to share. And some of us, when Lisa was sharing, I love the picture of God saying, show me your face. Because actually, it is needing a change of direction, isn't it? It's just needing to look up and look to God in a new way and a new attitude to know that he wants to spend time with us. And actually, that openness towards God is something that he wants. But openness in a group can help us with our openness to God. So we're hoping and praying that in small groups, we'll experience openness and togetherness and the blessing of that. And what we would love is that just as Eleanor and Lisa shared today, Eleanor, we love what Eleanor shared because in a way, it's almost like part of what I am speaking about today about happiness. Happiness, a Christian understanding of happiness is that actually sometimes we know very well how limited we are. We know our weaknesses and we know what we have to look forward to, the pain and sorrow. But we rejoice. We rejoice because we have moments with God. And we find out more and more as we go through life as a Christian what God thinks about us. And we worship him and praise him more and more. And we're just longing for small groups to have this experience of being able to actually get in touch and say, folks have got something to share. So that on a Sunday, we'll be able to do that. We'll be able to share our testimonies and experience. And I just pray that this will be a blessed experience for the next 6 weeks. And actually, we'll just really get us a wee bit more up the mountain, praising and worshipping God together. If you would like to receive the emails that are sent out with the daily readings and the prayer, then my email is on there. So just get in touch with me. But if you've already got given your details and they're on the database, then I think you'll receive it whether you want it or not. Cheers. Okay. All right, so our studies for the next 6 weeks are about well-being in God's community. And I think well-being is pretty in at the moment, isn't it? Wellness, well-being, it's pretty inward. There is a growing understanding that happiness is about a holistic sense of well-being, body, mind and spirit. And one leading psychologist, Martin Seligman, well known and loved by all, describes three categories of happiness being pleasure, engagement and meaning. So pleasure mostly comes from material things and through the senses. We enjoy them, but the pleasure is transient. It doesn't last very long. And in fact, I think maybe their transience is part of their joy and pleasure. So, for example, a Lindor chocolate, you pop it in your mouth and, ooh, a lovely savour. I don't think that's fair trade, I'm sorry. You pop it in your mouth and delicious and delightful. But actually, it's not going to stay there forever. It will disappear. What a lovely thing to savour while it lasts. Or a really, really good joke. I love a good joke that makes me guffaw. But that guffaw is like a burst of joy and laughter. It doesn't last. Or a romantic walk through the waves at sunset. It doesn't last forever, but that's part of the beauty of it. Engagement, which is the second category, is the happiness and enjoyment that we find in participating in life. So a job well done, job satisfaction, a hobby, a relationship, having children or a pet are good examples of engagement. I am just really glad that my mum got a puppy a wee while ago, and I'm just glad that it's not mine. I get the pleasure of seeing it every so often. But my mum's engagement and commitment to looking after that puppy, and lots of you will know that if you've got a pet, it involves a super investment, as it does with children, as it does with a job or a hobby. It involves effort and time, but it brings a more lasting satisfaction. It's a different kind of happiness, isn't it? And the final category that Seligman mentions is meaning. The key question that we ask here is, what is my life for? Why am I here on earth? looking for the answer to that question, finding meaning. And actually, when people find meaning, they're prepared to sacrifice a lot, even to die for what they believe in. We went to see Les Miserables on Wednesday night. It was like a belated Christmas present, so we went as a family, and it was fab. But I do find it gives me so much joy. If anyone's seen it, then it's just such a thrilling musical. But I do find it quite ironic that probably one of the most popular musicals in the world is called The Miserable Ones. And think about the story if you've seen it, and you go through this roller coaster of joy and tears. And Stuart and I were both quietly sobbing at the bit where Jean Valjean is singing Take Me Home. This whole idea of Jean Valjean is an amazing picture of someone who had no meaning, who was lost and found redemption and blessing and grace through the blessing of the bishop. And then finding true peace with God. So when he gets to the end of his life, which has been a very checkered, a mixture of happiness and sadness and pain, and suffering, he is praying, bring me home so that I can experience the embrace of my loving Heavenly Father. It's absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And the other scene at the end where they all start singing, Jean Valjean gets up and he walks with Fantine, and all the others that have died, the people from their past, are singing, Do You Hear the People Call? I think that's really amazing, because it's an amazing picture of the fact that we are more than just ourselves, and happiness is more than just pleasure. That when we find meaning, we are prepared to sacrifice for something bigger than ourselves. For us, for most of us here, we have found the deepest meaning in faith. We have faith in God, which draws us out of ourselves into the embrace of God, like Jean Valjean. So true happiness, according to this psychologist, is found in having fulfillment in these three categories. You can have happiness and pleasure, but it isn't true happiness. And I think it's really good that research is showing this. It's showing that happiness, that deeper understanding of happiness. Now, the Bible talks a lot about well-being and happiness, but it is really interesting to engage in the language that that God uses in his word. A key word is blessed or blessings. Because God is a good and gracious God who wants to bless his people in every way, in the life that he has given us now. James 1:17 says, Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. I love that, the poetry in that, the beauty in that. And one of the most famous Bible passages, often read at funerals as a comfort, is Psalm 23. Which describes a truly blessed life. And I'm going to read that now. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. How beautiful. A blessed life. I decided to write my own personal paraphrase. This is something else that you might want to do when you're doing the 40 days readings. Sometimes it's good to take it and just to make it personal. Write it as a prayer, personalizing it, putting yourself in there. So I wrote it like this. The Lord gives me everything I need. I have peace when I'm with him. He gives me strength. He guides me with his wisdom. He is with me even when I'm going through tough times. I'm not afraid when he's with me. He protects me and comforts me. Even when people are against me, he is for me. He honors me with his love for me. I will always be embraced by the Lord's unfailing love and goodness. I will always be with him forever. What a blessed life to be able to say that. Here is deep happiness and well-being, even in sorrow and trouble. Because we don't need perfect lives to enjoy the life that we've got. To enjoy a relationship with God. Now, the key passage that you were looking at this week in small group study is John 10. And the key verse is John 10:10. When Jesus says, "My purpose in coming is to give you a rich and satisfying life." Strong words, strong promise. I'm going to read John 10, the first 10 verses. The Lord Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than go through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Now we believe in the integrity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe him, don't we? So when he says, all who come in through this gate, that is the Lord Jesus, will be saved. We will come and go freely and we'll find good pastures. Because his purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life. We believe him. Because he's the good shepherd. And he actually will put down his life. He will lay his life down for his sheep. And what he says is true. He would not lie to us. But it's good that this picture shows reality. Because this picture shows that there is a need, a deep, deep need for the Good Shepherd. Because this world has dangers and sorrow and hardship. It has thieves and it has wolves. And we need the Lord's guiding. And we need him to show us the good pastures. And we need his comfort, like from Psalm 23, when we're going through pain. And when we're going through a valley that is surrounded and oppressive. We need him so much. But this picture isn't one that says everything is going to be hunky-dory. And at every point you're going to go happy, 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 happy. That isn't what the Lord is saying. And in fact, his life didn't reflect that. Because here was someone who had incredibly rich relationships, a lot of love to give and to receive. He blessed people. He spent time with people and he gave of himself. He was happy. He had happy times. He rejoiced in the Father. And never has anybody rejoiced in the relationship with the Father the way that Jesus did. And when you really look for that in the Gospels, you see it. When he throws up his face and he goes, "I thank you, Father, that you've shown this to the little ones. And you've hidden it from the wise." He so rejoices in God the Father. And he shows us what it means to truly be blessed. Truly be blessed. To have a deep understanding of happiness. Because Jesus always puts it in the context of eternity. Eternal life starts now. It starts in a relationship with the Father. It starts now. And that eternal promise of eternal blessing is for now. And it blesses us now. And it blesses us when we are faced with worry and trouble and distress. It really, really does. And how do we know this? When we doubt. Because we see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, I'll say we see it in people around us. In fellow brothers and sisters who have struggled and have said, the Lord never once left me. He was always there. What a blessed life. True happiness. And it's something that we need to hold on to, this deep understanding of happiness in our church right now, don't we? Because we are. Because we are needing to face trouble and bear each other's burdens and bear each other's pain. And we desperately need to do that as people who understand the deep blessing and happiness of knowing Christ. We need to be prepared to be authentic in sharing pain so that we can share joy as well. So that we can really do life together the way that God intends us to and the way that Jesus showed us how to. I really, when I wrote down what makes me happy, when I was looking at one of the questions on the Bible study, I just wrote down the first thing that came into my head. Stuart hates that kind of exercise because he likes to really think about everything. He hates having been asked to commit to something and give an answer there and then, whereas I quite like it. So I wrote down, off the top of my head, what makes me happy? Good chat, good food, a good laugh, nature, feeling loved, theatre and the arts, singing, having fun. And you know what? I forgot to put Jesus on the list. But that doesn't matter because the Father knows how much I love the Lord Jesus and the fact that that is my deep understanding of happiness and blessings. And the Lord really wants to show us as a community what it means to be deep, deep, deep in the blessings of God and to go deeper. I'm going to ask you to bear with me because I'm going to share a picture with you, a dream that I actually had last week, and I felt that it was a beautiful picture from the Lord. I've prayed about it all week and I've prayed with Stuart, and because I just really wanted to, commit to knowing that this was actually something that the Lord wants for us as a people. I thought so straight away, but actually you need to weigh and measure it. Okay. So as I read, I'm just going to read it. I would love you and I ask you to really participate, engage in weighing it up for you personally, but also remember that I think this is something, a message for us as a church, so weigh it up for both, and if you're a visitor, I hope you enjoy it. All right, here we go. Close your eyes if you want to, but here is this picture that I received. So we were all, the whole church, on an adventure holiday in a forest. It was very, very beautiful. And the first thing that we were involved with was we were on a trek to a deep gorge. A wild white water river ran along the bottom of this gorge, and we were trekking along by the side of the river. It was scary and exhilarating, and we were all there, young and old and everyone in between. As we headed back, all of us together, to our log cabins in the forest, they were very luxurious, one woman from the church was kitted out and ready for a mountain bike ride in the mountains. She had all the gear, it was very snazzy, and she had an amazing bike. Even I could tell, given that I don't do that kind of thing. Her son was with her saying, "I'll come with you, Mummy." But she told him he couldn't. This is why I have sleepless nights about preaching, because I cry all the time. He couldn't go because he didn't have the gear or the bike for it. She wasn't unkind to him, just wise. I called out to the boy from our cabin, "Come and hang out with Harry and Helena. You can skim stones or swim in the river by our cabin." And there, right next to our cabin, was a lovely, gentle river. It was quite big, but it was gentle, right next to us. So that's what these young ones did. As I looked out of a window in the cabin, I saw another woman from church setting off on a bike, but this time it was a shopping bike with a basket on the front, like you get in Miss Marple. I went into a large room, so this is the next bit. I went into a large room in our cabin. One wall of the room had floor-to-ceiling windows, and on a mat on the floor next to the windows was a baby, naked and waving its arms and legs. And there were two people standing to the right side of the room, so that wasn't in the light as much as the baby was. And they were talking quietly to each other about the baby. I went over to the baby, and as I crossed the room to it, I could see that it was a baby with an adult's face, and it had very developed muscles like an adult, but it was baby-sized. So I lay down next to the baby, and it tried to turn over to get closer to me. And as it tried to move, it became swaddled so tightly that it could only like wriggle a bit, like it was in a sausage wrapping. I freed its hands and helped it to sit up. And that was the end of the dream. And you, I pray, will have thoughts that have come into your head, ways that you think, actually, this is speaking to me in this way. But I want to share with you what I believe God is saying through it, as I've prayed through this interpretation. And this will just be the way that I want to finish before the band come up again. So please listen and measure and weigh this and ask God, "God, can I say amen to this? How are you speaking to me?" So I feel that there is wonderful encouragement in this picture. I want to say that to start off with, especially as we are coming into the 40 days of prayer and fasting, that God wants to encourage us strongly. God is saying we are all up for adventure and that he has provided us with one. There are two rivers in the picture. The one in the gorge represents the challenging aspects of Christian life. It's good to see in the picture that we were all there together because everybody experiences the challenges of life. The other river seems to represent rest, peace, joy, a place to grow. The two women on bikes seem to represent our unique life journeys. Both women were equipped with the bikes that they needed for their task. We have everything that we need for life and godliness, provided by our Heavenly Father. The mountain biking woman represents maturity. I thank God for her in the dream, for the people of faith in Hillcliffe, people who are mature in their faith, who are working out their salvation in their own challenges and struggles. This woman was in for a tough journey, but she was well up for it, praise the Lord. Her son represents healthy discipleship, where we aspire to be like our mature brothers and sisters. He had people to journey with who were just that bit older than him, and Harry and Helena were their representatives in the dream, who could encourage him and who could do Christian life with him. I love that God's picture shows our young people doing faith together and actually doing it with adults as well. To me, the river is a picture of life in the spirit, full of joy. Not the river in the gorge, although the spirit is there too, but the gentle river. This is healthy Christian life, swimming in the river, skimming stones, where we make the most of what and we make the most of whom God has given us, whatever stage or age that we're at. But there is a real strong challenge and warning from God in the room with the windows. The baby adult lying naked near the window is a Christian who is under the light of the word of God, but has not matured as they should. We can soak up the word of God every week in the sanctuary, but are we allowing it to impact our lives? The fact that I lay down next to the baby, I feel, represents discipleship. When we truly get alongside each other, face to face. When I did get alongside the baby, he did try to move towards me, but his movements were immediately hampered. To me, this seems to represent bondage to the sinful nature, bondage to sin. Immaturity and stunted growth come from being bound to sin, so we cannot truly be free in the spirit and in Christ. The two people talking about the baby seem to me to represent a critical, judgmental spirit that sees the weakness in others but criticizes and judges rather than helps. And I think it's important that they were not near the windows. They weren't in the light. They were over in a shadowed corner. Sometimes it's easy to think that you know what is true, but love enlightens, and being in the light of the word, that is true enlightenment. And being prepared to listen to the word together, that is true enlightenment. So as we go through the 40 days of readings and prayers, as we spend time in our small groups or on our own with God, we will face the challenge to repent of sin, to grow and mature in our faith, and grow as the community of God. When we see weakness in ourselves and others, let's hear God's warning and challenge not to ignore it, but not to stand back and refuse to help our brothers and sisters. Because in doing that, they can't help us either. Let's have the courage and the grace to speak the truth in love and be free. Because we can help each other to find the true blessing of life with Christ together. God has provided everything that we need for life, godliness and happiness in him. And I just pray for us all that over the next 6 weeks that we will receive everything that the Lord has said that we can have. Be on that adventure together. Receive from God and bless each other and be blessed. Amen.